760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truthfully, you bring that joy back to us tenfold. I am Josh Harris, joined by Allison DeLuhl.
Good morning.
Yes, and we have a very special guest with us. We have a special opening guest co-host, I guess, the Three Musketeers. Mm-hmm. We got Pierce Benefield here.
What's going on, man? How are you guys?
We're doing good. Happy Monday.
Better now that you're here, man.
Thank you.
And Allison, you got a prayer for us, don't you?
I sure do. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Loving and faithful God, as we step into this new week, we come before you together, your children, your church, offering you our lives, our hopes, and all that lies ahead. Thank you for the gift of this new beginning. Fill our hearts with peace, our minds with wisdom, and our souls with courage. Help us to walk in your light, to speak with your kindness, and to serve with humility. We ask you to bless our families, our communities, our work, and our rest. Watch over those who are struggling, comfort those who are grieving, and bring healing to the sick and peace to the anxious. Lord, unite us in love and purpose, that we may reflect your mercy in a world that is so desperately needs it. Strengthen our faith and remind us that we do not walk alone. As your word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. May this truth guide us each day. We trust in you, Lord. Lead us, protect us, and be glorified in all we do this week. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm gonna kick it off on a gentle, serious note, but I'm going to ask for some prayers for my stepfather. Mm-hmm. He's in the ICU, had a brain bleed, unfortunately, and so keep him in your prayers. Mm-hmm. I was actually... helped take him to the hospital with my mother, and then had to take an Uber to a comedy show out in Ackworth. But, you know, I was just rooted in prayer, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's like God gave me the grace to compartmentalize. But I just, something that I was thinking about when I was there, you see, when you go to a hospital, right? I mean, people clearly want to leave. I mean, in these rooms a lot of times, right? I mean, could even see it etched on my stepfather's face, definitely, you know. But I think about, how many times does God have me someplace that I don't want to be or think I need to leave? And yet there is life support being, you know, pumped into me that is, you know, that divine grace that is, it's actually the... it's the last place I want to be, but it's the best place I need to be, you know? And I think about that scripture, John 13:7, Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand."
So true. So many times we just want to run. We're not in a comfortable situation. We're like, why are we here, Lord?
Yeah.
He knows. There's a reason if he has us there.
Absolutely. And I know, Pierce, you did a bit of a pivot in your faith journey, right?
Yeah,
you were, and at the time, it might have been a bit of a conundrum when you were switching. I mean, it might have felt like a desert, which, you know, we're going to be talking about a desert day coming up, but you know, what gave you strength in that kind of interim period when you were in that kind of intermediary conversion process?
Yeah, I think honestly that verse and anything you look at when Christ is leaving, he's going to ascend into heaven, he's telling his disciples, it's better that I leave now, because the person who's coming next, the Holy Spirit, he is going to be the full fulfillment of what I've been saying. It will make sense to you then. And that must have been terrifying. I mean, the apostles see Jesus ascend. The next thing we see, they're hiding in a house. And that's when Pentecost occurs. And I mean, it wasn't clear to them. It wasn't clear to me whenever I was becoming more convinced that I should follow the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
And I think just walking, even blindly sometimes, just as like the childlike faith, like this is where I need to be. I don't know why. I'm terrified. I gained nothing from this. Mm-hmm. You know, my girlfriend at the time was Calvinist. My family was very anti-Catholic. I was very scared. Mm-hmm. And I just kept walking, just kept going.
Yeah.
And I do think that just like in a similar way to the apostles, once the Holy Spirit came upon them, you know, once I go to confirmation, I had the full assurance then and there I was sealed with something special.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a part of the fullness of Christ's church. So I do think sometimes it is not, you're not sure of your path. You know, you're sitting there in a hospital or you have no idea what's going on with your family member. You have no idea what's going on internally. But just taking those steps, I think praying really draws you close.
Amen.
I think that guides you into that communion, into that same wavelength as the Holy Spirit. And then he'll continue to guide you if you follow him, even if it's the right thing, but it feels wrong. You have no idea where you're going. He'll guide you.
Amen.
If you don't know, Pierce is the new station chaplain after that after that message.
It was beautiful.
Not ordained yet, but you know, we gave him the fast pass to the front of the line.
No, but it's true. I mean, trusting, that's a key when you're in the thick of it, right?
Absolutely.
Jesus, I trust in you.
And what you said, Proverbs 3:5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll keep your path straight.
Absolutely.
I think it's the last thing I'll say. It's a reminder that wherever we are in God in life, we're serving a purpose.
Mm.
You know,
amen.
The fact that I was spending time with him this weekend, I mean, it just brought me so much closer to Christ, right? He was doing things for me that nobody else could in that moment. And so wherever we are in life, you know, God has us in a place on purpose and for a purpose and can use it for an eternal purpose. So,
amen.
Yeah, amen.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Do you like Pierce? Well, he's so good we need a double dose of that because he's up next discussing the 20s, 30s Desert Day Retreat. It's going to be pretty action-packed. That's... What day is that?
It's August 2nd.
All right.
Ooh, coming
he's a
up.
Total pro. On the horizon, Dr. Carl Amodio, parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena and founder of Optimal Health, talks about everyday evangelization in his practice. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps get acquainted with St. Lawrence of Brindisi. And Kathy McCormick, parishioner of St. Thomas Aquinas, is going to be unpacking today's gospel reading.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio, AM 1160, The Quest.
We're joined by the holiest man in America. Again, Pierce Benefield. Those are his words, not mine, okay?
Oh,
I'm reading off of his card.
Josh, it's so funny to watch people get so uncomfortable when he starts talking like that.
In all seriousness, we love Pierce. He does so much for the faith, and just by his witness, it's incredible to see. All you've done to plant seeds in such a short period of time, because you are not like a veteran Catholic. I mean, you're pretty new on the team, and yet here you are inspiring people with your incredible testimony, conversion, wisdom. And you have a unique story. Can you just briefly share what initially drew you from your old faith tradition into the Catholic Church?
Yeah, so I came back to the Protestant Church about the tail end of COVID, and I was for the first time, I think I had like an adult, aware, sentient decision. I'm going to follow Christ, change my life. And from that point on, I was going to this great Calvinist church, and I was seeing baptisms and communion, and I would cry every time. I would get so emotional.
Wow.
And I'm looking into forums. I'm looking into like the early Reformed fathers, and I'm asking myself, you know, what is there about this symbol that is so strong? Get involved in this group chat on Facebook Messenger of all places, and it's full of these Catholic guys in the metro Atlanta area who are politely debating Anglicans and Pentecostals and Calvinists like myself. I had every intention of going there to convert them, thinking I was good. I went to college for my Calvinist faith. I was going to be a pastor back then. And they slowly and politely and lovingly just crumbled any notions of my theology. So after a year of studying, I go to my first mass, and I would say like a mini miracle happened there. My prayer that I'd been praying, which was St. Patrick's prayer, they sang the first hymn.
Wow.
And to this day, for the second time ever while going to Christ the King, I finally heard that again. But I've been to mass there ever since, never heard that again.
Wow.
And so I right then and there was like, I need to become Catholic, you know, joined RCIA, got politely asked to leave my Calvinist church, and then became confirmed February 4th of last year.
Yay, welcome home.
Wow,
Thank you so much. That's
amazing. And so now you're speaking at the 20s and 30s Desert Day Retreat, right? August 2nd at Christ the King. How does this reflect, for instance, the spiritual journey many young adults are facing? And maybe first, like, tell us a little bit about the event. What's going on that day?
Sure. So Desert Day is great. It's an annual retreat that Christ the King does for the 20s and 30s. Typically, the whole thing is about a half day. So you get two meals provided for you if you sign up. You have speakers that show up. I will be one of those speakers there on like a panel. We're discussing prayer this year, which I think is very important.
Oh, yeah.
Father Jared from CTK is going to be there. He's leading that. He's also celebrating Mass. There's confession. There's adoration. There's worship. There's time for small groups. And I went there last year pretty new. Like, I had come into the faith in February. You know, I think it was August of last year we had this as well. And I met, I'd say, most of my friends that I have now.
Wow.
I was freshly into the Knights of Columbus, so I didn't really know anybody my age from that church. All of a sudden, now I have these friends that we hang out with, we do men's groups with, or Bible studies with, you know, work out with. Great, great people there. Great way to meet people if you're new to the faith or new to the church and want to get involved. And so, yeah, it's a really good overall day to meet people, to get closer to God, and to learn, like, our topic this time is prayer. So I think that's going to be a really important thing.
That's fantastic. And, I mean, how do you think this can really bless young people? I think you shared one way is obviously the fellowship is huge. How is it a blessing in your journey?
Yeah, I think that the fellowship is one of the biggest parts and in the broader spectrum of Catholicism I love, is that everybody from everywhere that's Catholic shares the same faith, the same baptism. And there's a community there. I was in Spain, didn't know a lick of what they were saying during Mass, but I knew the order of Mass. And at the end of it, we're saying, peace be with you to each other. And I know that these are my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
This is a way closer experience where you get to, you know, speak the same language. You get to see these same people that are going through the same things in your age group. And again, this topic on prayer is particularly like when we're in those dry seasons, when you're in those deserts. And there's a lot of history in our scriptures. There's a lot of people that have been in a lot of deserts, you know, from our prophets that are like Elijah, who's like, please just take me now. Like, I'm alone. I can't do anything. And God shows him that there's an army with him. I think that that's what we're going to be focusing on, is how to go through those dry periods of prayer. And I think one of the things I've seen with my friends, especially cradle Catholics that have talked to me, who maybe don't have that quick, you know, 2 years ago vigor where they're ignited and they want to join the church and spread all these things because they're not converted. They're asking, like, how do I pray? And how do I feel closer to God or draw closer to the Holy Spirit? And so Father Jared and then the speakers that they've set up, really good speakers. And I'm also there, but there's also really good speakers there. they're going to really dive in on what to look for, symptoms of being in the desert, and then how to trust God on the way out. Kind of like what you talked about earlier. It was a great segue. You didn't even mean to. Providential segue. On being in a place that you're not familiar with, being scared and wondering what to do next. We're going to be discussing that.
Oh, that's beautiful. And one of the retreat's highlights is exploring how prayer looks across different vocations, I believe. So can you give us maybe a preview or an idea of how the talks or panel will speak to this diversity? For instance, there's what marriage, there's single, consecrated.
Yeah, we've got a consecrated lady coming who's going to be speaking on that portion. Obviously, we have Father Jared there who's going to be looking more towards the male vocations as well. We actually just had a buddy. I think you might know him. He just celebrated his last ride. He's about to join seminary.
Oh, wow.
And so shout out JT Lynch. He's a great guy.
He's speaking too.
I think he's going to be there. I don't think he's speaking. Okay, I wanted him to speak there. That'd be great.
That'd be cool.
But he's the only guy taller than me that I know, so I'm pretty mad about that. But we also have the couple that's going to be talking about how to really form a couple that honors God, that works with God, and they're our age too. So oftentimes you'll see people that you really look up to, like the Han family or something like that. Or theology of the body, and look at these couples that have been together for 20, 30, 40 years. But these are a younger couple that grew up together in the faith. They are trying to navigate the faith while being married, newly married, considering. And so that's going to be great. And of course, you're going to hear from me, who's you know, I have a girlfriend, but I'm not married. We're going to talk about like what it looks like for a guy in his 20s to be in a life of prayer and trying to be averse to the world.
Well, and so in order to really embrace the authenticity of your role for this event as a single man, you're going to need to break up with her before the event. You can get back with her after this.
Just to give that yin and yang, you know, just to figure it out.
Just for the next hour, I'm going to need to know. That's awesome. I think that's a beautiful snapshot of a multitude of different places that people are in life, right? Yeah. And I think, why is that important? Because it shows holiness isn't circumstantial.
Correct.
In fact, it should be the fruit of wherever God has called us.
Right.
Regardless if you're married or if you're a priest or you're single or you're dating, wherever that particular path is, it should be a path to love God and others more.
100%. There was my first confession coming into the faith. I was complaining to Father Joe Wagner. I was like, I don't understand. What are the odds that there's going to be a girl that I find just immeasurably attractive that's also Catholic, that wants to pursue the same things as like a Catholic guy? And he said, you'd be surprised. But I did know throughout that time, God used that conversation to give me about a year of a buffer to actually become a man that was practicing my faith in quiet and in public.
That could step into a relationship like that with a woman that is on fire and loves the Lord.
When my girlfriend shows up and we're in Spain together on this pilgrimage, I was able to be a guy that was prepared for her.
Yes.
And that was through the power of prayer. So I think that's important.
Wow, that's so, so that's where y'all met.
Yeah, we met on a pilgrimage. So she couldn't say no, dude. Well, it was too romantic.
Fantastic. I love that. And by the way, the event, speaking of romantic, I think this is kind of like a spiritual love letter God is sending to the attendees. It includes adoration, confession, small groups, vigil mass as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, how important is this, right? Combining community sacraments and personal prayer in a 100%. Day like this. Was it a huge blessing to you about a year ago?
It was so fulfilling. It was really good. And again, it's cool to see other people your age doing it. So even if you're not in your 20s and 30s, but know somebody that is, if you know your kids that age, or if you know somebody in the family, like, tell them to come, invite them. We had a lot of people, including a Knight of Columbus now, who had never been to a Christ the King event last year, somehow heard about that, went, and now he's a regular parishioner. He and I are, again, Knights of Columbus. It's great. And watching him grow as someone that was like new to the state, new to the scene, getting so involved. And really, we all drew closer to God because of that event. This year's going to be even better with the topics that we're talking about. Mm.
And that's wonderful, too, because here you're saying anybody in their 20s and 30s can come to this wonderful event at Christ the King.
100%.
That's fantastic. So where can people go to register to learn more, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I think if you just go to the CTK 20s and 30s website. You can also go on their Facebook page if you're a Facebooker. That is CTK 20s and 30s.
Although then it'd have to be 40s and 50s if you're on
Facebook.
That's right. Josh, you are so funny.
The website is ctk2030somethings.org. You'll also see my pretty mugshot on there now. I have a new photo on there.
Nice.
But yeah, it's going to be great. Sign up there. And I think early bird registration is just closed. The late fee is like $5. So it's nothing
not
on that.
And you get two meals. That's pretty sweet.
You get coffee, so, I mean, what's there not to love about
that? Fantastic.
That's
right. We're so grateful for you. Pierce Benefield joining us. Check him out August 2nd, speaking at the CTK 20s, 30s something event, Desert Day Retreat. It's going to be action-packed, and you might just meet some of the best friends of your life, and you'll certainly meet the best friend you'll ever meet. That's our Lord and Savior in the Eucharist and through that sacramental rhythm. Thank you so much for all you do for the church, brother.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Dr. Carl Amodio closes us out strong. He's the founder of Optimal Health, and we'll be talking about everyday evangelization. Remember our scripture verse, by the way, for the battle belongs to the Lord. That's 1 Samuel 17:48. Our buddy Chuck Persner discusses St. Lawrence of Brindisi. And up next, Kathy McCormick, parishioner of St. Thomas Aquinas, is unpacking today's gospel reading.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It's 8:21, and we're joined by a very special friend, Kathy McCormick.
Good morning.
Hey, Kathy. As usual, unpacking the gospel reflection with such class, and it's just beautiful soul food she gives us every Monday. How are you?
I'm great. How are y'all today?
Doing great. Doing great. Happy Monday.
Good. Happy Monday. Let's get into it. This week is the 16th week of Ordinary Time, and the gospel today is Matthew 12:38-42. Some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." He said to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And there is something greater than Jonah here. At the judgment, the queen of the south will arise with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So real quick, let's just go to Jonah in Nineveh and the queen from the south, because Jesus is going back to the Old Testament and speaking of Jonah the prophet, who is in the belly of the whale. I think everyone is could be pretty understandable about that, that we hear that in our preschool about Jonah being swallowed by the whale and then spit out. And finally he does what God asks him to do. And he goes to Nineveh and he preaches through Nineveh. You'll find that scripture, that story in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. And he preaches, and he takes him 3 days to walk through the city of Nineveh. And as after the first day, they all start repenting. And when, it, when the news reached the king said, even the beasts shall be wearing sackcloth. And hopefully God will turn his wrath away from us. And so they repented when they heard the word of God. The queen from the south, people are like, who is that? Well, that is the queen of Sheba. The queen of Sheba was a queen from the south and heard of Solomon's wisdom. So not an Israelite, a Gentile. And she traveled from afar in a huge caravan to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And here is what she said after listening to him. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. Mm. And that's in 2 Chronicles 9:1-12. And so the queen of Sheba, not knowing anything about, you know, the king of Israel or anything like that, recognized. And what Jesus is saying is, and I'm greater than both of these people.
Wow.
I'm greater than Solomon. I'm greater than Jonah. And you're asking me for a sign. And so he's saying, you know, Ninevites and the Queen of Sheba, they're going to condemn you because they recognize me. And he also, you know, he talks about, you know, the Son of Man will be in the earth 3 days and three nights. So obviously that's talking about the resurrection. So asking Jesus for a sign, asking God for a sign has always been a tricky thing. I don't think we should do that.
I know, and I've done that before. I've done it a couple times, but then I'm like, Lord, have mercy on me. You know I love you. So
well, I think here's the thing. They wanted him to perform for them. You know, they asked, hey, give us a sign. Well, now he's been healing people and he's been preaching, you know, and so on. So, but they, you know, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. Stand up and perform. Mm-hmm. And I think what we need to do is say, Lord, I give you my life and I'm asking you to guide me to that. And the Lord will, I think, give us promptings of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But asking the Lord to give us proof or the condition that he is God is the thing. It's a trust issue. So we need to cultivate trust through prayer and the sacraments and through scripture and see how we can learn a lot from the Ninevites and the Queen of Sheba who come and see and hear and listen and believe and repent.
Yeah.
You know, or praise God. The Queen of Sheba praised God.
Mm-hmm.
Praised a God that she didn't even know about.
Yeah, and I think about that scripture verse where Jesus said, blessed are those who do not see or who will not see and still believe.
Right.
There is an economy of faith that I think is very pleasing to the Lord. We look at Mother Teresa's life and you think about the intense, I think, decades of desolation.
Yes.
And yet it didn't shake her confidence. I mean, it certainly rattled her, but it didn't deter her from sticking with the basics, that sacramental rhythm of, you know, prayer, Eucharist service, and, you know, fulfilling the mission that God placed in front of her. And I think that's a powerful message because we realize that faith isn't anchored in feeling, but it's anchored in something much deeper than that.
Yeah. I think that there's a call to repentance in this too. To repent and accept the truth. You know, the Pharisees and scribes were sitting there going, I'm not sure. And he's saying, look, you know, I'm right here. You need to listen to what I'm saying and listen with your heart and accept the truth. It's the hardened heart that will reject the truth or that will want a sign or that will, you know, prove to me you're God kind of thing. And so making our We've got to soften our hearts to receive the word.
Yeah.
And it's a good word to receive. Mm-hmm. You know, everlasting life, the promise of everlasting life is a good thing. That's what I hope for.
Yeah.
And so I think too, we need to recognize Christ in the Eucharist. You know, he's greater. He's something greater than Jonah is here. Okay. In every Mass, we have Christ in the Eucharist and Christ in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, Christ is present. He's right there. And I think that he's with us in each, and we need to trust that, continually turn to that, and believe, you know, faith is a gift. And to finally put down your life at the foot of the cross and say, I believe, is what he's calling us to do today.
And
when you do that, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, and somebody that doesn't feel his presence, just say, Lord, here I am. Help me feel you. Help me know you more. I mean, I talk to my kids all the time. You know, how do you know God's out there? Talk to him. He wants to be your friend. He wants to know you. So constant communication and talking to him, saying, fill me. Help me know you more. That's what I was going to chime in and say.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's exactly right. You know, we are a creation of God. And he created us out of love. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, then he wants us with him. He wants to be with us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to set us up for a future full of hope. Mm-hmm. And so why not? Why not reach out for that?
Amen.
Why not reach out for that?
And I that's such a poignant reminder, Kathy, especially when you're talking about the signs, right? And I think that's going to really stick with me today is, you know, it's about relationship, not about, you know, these grand spectacles. Mm-hmm. St. Augustine has a quote. It says, do not seek to understand in order to believe, but believe that you may understand. The love and relationship with the Lord comes first, and then it makes sense after that.
Exactly. Exactly. Life falls in place when you put your life in God's hands.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kathy McCormick from St. Thomas Aquinas, for all the beautiful biblical insights you bless us with.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. And now it's time for the news of the day. This is from Newsflare. In China, a woman got the surprise of her life after a short trip away from home. As she unlocked the door, she heard chirping. Inside, dozens of fluffy chicks hatched from supermarket eggs.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I want some of those eggs. That'd be pretty awesome.
Little pets for you.
She had brought 3 cartons, 90 eggs in total, and somehow 70 of them had hatched into live chicks right in her apartment.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. The woman thinks the extreme heat acted like a natural incubator. So she and the family fed the chicks warm rice broth and built a cozy shelter out of old jumpers. The result, every single chick survived.
Oh.
Yeah. 2 are now family pets, and the rest are happily living with her parents back in the countryside.
Oh my gosh, that's adorable.
That's pretty cool.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Closing us out, Dr. Carl Imodio, parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena and founder of Optimal Health, talks about everyday evangelization in his practice. How relevant and timely. Our buddy Chuck Persner on the horizon is going to help us get acquainted with St. Lawrence of Brindisi. And by the way, remember our scripture verse this week. It's an easy one, but an important one. 1 Samuel 17:48, for the battle belongs to the Lord.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Mondays, get acquainted with the sainted, is sponsored by VerseBrite.
It's 8:36.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. You know, July 21st marks the feast day of St. Lawrence of Brindisi, a priest and doctor of the church. We've had a few of those lately, with St. Bonaventure being the most recently celebrated doctor of the church on the 15th of this month. Just a few days ago, actually.
Yeah.
You know, at first glance, perhaps the most remarkable quality of St. Lawrence is his outstanding gift of languages. In addition to a thorough knowledge of his native Italian, he had complete reading and speaking ability in Latin, Hebrew, Greek, German, Bohemian, Spanish, and French.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Probably spoke a little pig Latin, too.
Wow. Right? I mean, that's a lot of language.
Yeah, an incredible feat. And we've had a few saints that we've talked about. I know Pope John Paul II was quite fluent in a number of different languages as well. But Lawrence was born on July 22nd in the year 1559 and died exactly 60 years later on his birthday in 1619, hence his July 22nd feast day. His parents, William and Elizabeth Russo, gave him the name of Julius Caesar. So he was born Julius Caesar Russo. After the early death of his parents, he was educated by his uncle at the College of St. Mark in Venice.
Oh.
When he was just 16, he entered the Capuchin Franciscan Order in Venice and received the name of Lawrence. He completed his studies of philosophy and theology at the University of Padua, hometown of St. Anthony, of course, and was ordained a priest at the age of 23. Due to his unique ability to quickly learn languages, as discussed, Lawrence was able to study the Bible in its original texts. And at the request of Pope Clement VIII, he spent much time preaching to the Jews in Italy. So excellent was his knowledge of Hebrew, the rabbis felt for sure that he was a Jew who had become a Christian, even though that was clearly not the case. Lawrence's sensitivity to the needs of those in his midst, which is a character trait perhaps unexpected in such a talented scholar, did begin to boldly surface, and he was elected major superior of the Capuchin Franciscan Province of Tuscany at the age of 31. Relatively short age, and he had the combination of brilliance, human compassion, and he had the administrative skill needed to carry out his duties as well. But can't forget about that.
Yes.
You know, you need to have that skill too. And in rapid succession, he was promoted by his fellow Capuchins and was elected Minister General in the year 1602. And in this position, he was responsible for great growth and geographical expansion of the order. Lawrence was appointed papal emissary and peacemaker, a job which took him to a number of foreign countries. In fact, it was a journey to Lisbon to visit the King of Spain in an effort to achieve peace in his native kingdom of Naples that a serious illness took his life.
Oh, wow.
In the year 1619. Died a young man. Pope Benedict XVI spoke glowingly of him in a general audience in the year 2010. And Allison, I think you have a couple of his sound bites from that talk.
I sure do. Pope Benedict said the whole of his activity was inspired by great love for sacred scripture, which he knew thoroughly and by heart, and by the conviction that listening to and the reception of the word of God produces an inner transformation that leads us to holiness.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Reading the word of God.
Yeah. And then years later, in 1956, the Capuchins completed a 15-volume edition of Lawrence's writings. 11 of these 15 contain his sermons, each of which relies chiefly on scriptural quotations to illustrate his teaching. He was just known for his quotes and teachings on the idea, in particular, that God is love. And this is a prominent theme in John's gospel, of course. Allison, I think you have one of his more famous quotes on that topic.
Yes, he said, God is love, and all his operations proceed from love. Once he wills to manifest that goodness by sharing his love outside himself, then the incarnation becomes the supreme manifestation of his goodness in love and glory. Wow.
Yeah, great quote.
That is beautiful.
You know, with St. Lawrence of Brindisi, he was smart. He was very smart, you know, and his intellectual gifts were used in the service of the Lord to master whatever discipline he studied. And when you combine intellect with obedience and a willingness to do God's will, saintly things happen.
Absolutely.
You see that with him. And his knowledge of scripture was so wide and so deep that some claimed that they swore he had memorized the entire Bible.
Wow.
Far beyond merely the intellectual, though Lawrence was also cultivated a burning love for Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, and the Holy Eucharist in long hours of prayer. It sometimes took him hours to say Mass. He seemed to be carried away in ecstasy, as some onlookers would note. This level of fervor, education, intelligence, and devotion to the church makes St. Lawrence of Brindisi the ideal priest for his time and place. And he was many things, but among them, he was the ultimate, as one commentator said, counter-reformation warrior, because he was fighting this throughout most of his life. He is, in fact, the third Franciscan doctor of the church, along with the recently celebrated St. Bonaventure and St. Anthony, and unfortunately, one of the lesser known of the three.
Oh,
so
wow.
Hopefully we're spreading the good news about him today, and many will perhaps go on to research him a little bit more after our segment today.
Absolutely.
Allison, I think you had one more quote from Pope Benedict XVI. That was such a great general audience address. Let's do one more.
The word of the Lord is a light for the mind and a fire for the will, so that man may know and love God. For the inner man who lives through the living grace of God's Spirit, it is bread and water, but bread sweeter than honey and water better than wine or milk. It is a weapon against a heart stubbornly entrenched in vice. It is a sword against the flesh, the world, and the devil to destroy every sin.
Yeah, that's powerful. And these are words that were inspired and spoken as only Pope Benedict XVI could with regard to St. Lawrence of Brindisi and the impact that he had on his life as a young man, who would eventually go on to become a great pope in our lifetime. And he has a very interesting patronage. I know that got your attention, Allison.
Yes, he's the patron saint of Brindisi.
Yeah, beautiful place. Now, of course, you and I, we were not familiar with...
No.
Where is Brindisi again?
It is a city in the region of Apulia in southern Italy, the capital of the province of Brindisi, on the coast of the Adriatic Sea.
Correct. Yeah, and I'm glad we fact-checked that, because I think I told you before we went on the air, oh, yeah, it's just north of Turkey.
So and
I was off by a little bit there.
Listen, and I looked it up, and it looked beautiful.
It really did.
I'm ready to hop on a plane and go to Brindisi.
Yeah, don't blame you. I'll book that trip for two, and we'll bring some sunblock. That sounds like a beautiful trip. Yeah,
love it.
Yep. All right, well, with that in mind, let's book those tickets, and let's all pray St. Lawrence of Brindisi.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
Are you there, Dad?
Hello?
Dad's there. Dad, Daddy's home.
That sounds weird. How about Dad or up? There we go.
Dad or up. All right, buddy.
Absolutely. Time for Monday memes.
What do you have?
As you know, some of these are silly, some are heartfelt, and everything in between. Allison, this first one is for you.
Oh,
yeah, your dad is still with us.
Yes.
And this one says, you never know how valuable your dad's advice and wisdom are until you can't get it anymore.
Oh, Amen.
And I'm sure you appreciate your dad every day.
I do. I totally do. I love you, Dad. I hope he's listening. He usually is. Sometimes he's like, I slept through it.
Yeah. But it's like you'd give anything. One day you'll give anything to be embarrassed by your dad again, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, love that.
Hi, Allison's dad.
Oh, Vic.
nobody is more full of false hope than a mom buying her son 47 different cleaning supplies for his dorm.
Oh, gosh. Just donate the money, man. Let's be real.
Yeah. Exactly. Imagine how noisy centipedes would be if they wore tiny flip-flops.
Oh my gosh, Dave! I don't know where that came from, but wow!
I don't want to know what was the genesis of that thought, but I'm impressed.
And here's one for our friend Tim Shevlin.
Oh yeah,
it's never too late to start exercising. That's why I'm going to wait till later.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
A hacker just called me and said he has all my passwords. So I jumped up, grabbed a pen and paper and said, oh, thank goodness, what are they?
Gosh, I get locked out of everything, man. I feel like my phone is just Brinks security or something, dude. You know what I'm talking about, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll close on this one. Just because I post about God doesn't mean I'm holier than you. I sin, I struggle, but every day God carries me through it.
Amen. We strive.
A reminder to stick Absolutely. With the basics. Thank you so much, Dave Savage. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Coming up on the Morning Quest.
On the horizon, closing us out strong, we have Dr. Carl Amodio, parishioner of St. Catherine Siena and founder of Optimal Health, talking about everyday evangelization in his practice.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:48, and I am so delighted to introduce to you all Dr. Carl Amodio. He is a parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena in Kennesaw and is the founder of Optimal Health in Roswell. Welcome to The Quest, Carl.
Thank you, Allison. It's great to be here.
Oh, listen, I am thrilled you're here. I have known you for a while. I actually got to work with you, too, and I saw evangelization in action with you. So I am just pumped to have you here to share with others how you live out the gospel through your work.
Well, I really think it's a vocation, and people come in, and one of the things that I really try to do and pray about every day is to alleviate the pain and suffering of people when they come in, and the best I can. And I let them know God is the healer And I just try to remove the obstructions to the healing.
Amen.
And let the process take forth.
No, that is so, so beautiful. So, Dr. Carl, can you share a moment in your practice where your faith naturally entered the conversation?
Yes. You know, just being open to the Holy Spirit and knowing when would be a good opportunity to bring up, you know, the faith or help people come back to the faith. We've had several times where people have fallen away from the faith. I've encouraged them to come back and go to confession, you know, get back to a priest. You know, I can help them with the physical and the, you know, the health balancing from a physical perspective. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they just need to get back and see a priest and get back into the sacraments.
And, you know, and before people might not be familiar with Optimal Health and your journey into the healthcare world. So share a little bit about your business, Optimal Health, and what brought you to this, how the Lord led you to this.
Well, I've always been drawn towards more holistic healing, non-invasive healing ever since I was young. My mother took me to a chiropractor when I was 10 years old because I had a scoliosis, and thank God she did.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, Mom. And that got me on the course to try to always have an idea on natural ways to stay healthy. So when I decided to become a chiropractor and dedicate to holistic healing, I really wanted to learn about not just the structural balancing, but nutritional balancing and stress reduction for the body.
That's fantastic. And so I think that what you do puts you in a particularly unique situation of receptivity on the point of the patient to hear the message of the good news, maybe not immediately, but at least to have it tiptoe into the conversation, because here they are in a state of vulnerability, mm-hmm. and you are, like you shared, kind of a conduit for God's healing. Are there instances in where that's been particularly profound in your faith walk?
Yes, I, you know, one patient comes to mind that had fallen away from the faith and actually came to me, and I was helping her with some issues, and happened to have a brochure on the Blessed Mother, and I felt compelled to give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she almost got emotional when she saw it, and she ended up coming into the church, and I was her sponsor.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, it is. What I love, too, when I walk into the office, you know, you just see little holy reminders. Like, even in your office, there's a crucifix. So it's so beautiful how you are there to help people heal, help them get to a better place, and also spread the love of Christ.
That's what I pray for every day. You know, just try to be there for them and give them hope, because hope is really what we all need, and faith. And a lot of times when you go to a doctor and they don't really give you that hope, mm-hmm. you know, and some of it is more fear-based. I try to give them hope, because it's always possible. God does the healing. I just remove the obstruction.
And you know what I love too? You know, many Catholics wonder how to evangelize without being preachy. And the way you're speaking to people, right? You're just, the Holy Spirit might prompt you to share a brochure or to share a word, you know, here or there about scripture or the faith. How do you integrate your faith into conversations with patients, especially in the subtle and respectful ways? Because there are many patients that come in that are not Catholic, right?
Yes.
And your goal is to help heal them. Well, like God heals, you know, through your work. But how do you respectfully integrate that faith into those conversations?
So, you know, I just listen for the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. in that situation. If it's a word to help people come back to the faith, you know, if they have questions,
yeah,
then we can answer questions.
Yeah,
really, it's just being open to what God wants me to say at the moment for them, for their healing journey. Yeah.
And I know for you to be open to the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of prayer that happens outside of the practice. So tell us about your spiritual walk throughout the day.
Yeah, and how you maintain that rhythm, right? In the midst of a busy practice, you know, what does that kind of sacramental rhythm look like for you to stay spiritually fit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think balance is key,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to maintain balance with the family, with the practice, but also with God, and praying every day for the ability to do that, you know, on the way to work, on the way from work,
mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm not in work. So, yeah, definitely.
And I know sometimes you do visit the chapel at St. Peter Chanel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's close.
It's very, mm-hmm. and then hello, this
now
is
come
close
here.
Too. I know we have a beautiful chapel here. So anybody that's in the Roswell area, come on by and visit Jesus. So, Dr. Modio, what advice would you give to other professionals who want to be more intentional about evangelization in their own careers? Because I'm sure some are timid, they're afraid to just be open to the Holy Spirit working through them.
So I would say to live their faith, to be open to their, mm-hmm. you know, to living their faith in their example. Mm-hmm. You know, I once had somebody who was Mormon, who was a intern of mine at the office, and he didn't really know too much about the Catholic faith, but yeah. he said that just observing how we treated people, mm-hmm. he got a different dimension and a different understanding of the faith that he didn't have before.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's
and
so it important.
Faith in action, I guess, is the best way to say it.
And what you said, they'll know you by your love.
Yeah.
Right? And the phrase I repeat over and over again is, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. Don't get exactly. me wrong, we need to spread the good news with our words plenty of times, but the most powerful witness is a character witness.
Let me ask you this question, because this is an important one. If you had one, you know, word of encouragement for somebody who is afraid to share their faith in their daily life, what would it be? Because I know, like I was saying, some people are timid, and even though they might be faith-filled, what would you say to them to not be afraid to share their faith with others?
Just trust that God will give you the right words to say
mm-hmm. That's
at the
great.
Time, really. And, you know, and be in touch and close to the Lord with your prayer life mm-hmm. so that when the time comes, you'll be ready.
And I think that's important, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes if we're timid or scared, are we in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Are we living out the sacraments? As you would mm-hmm. say, are we living the sacramental rhythm, as Josh would say, you know? Because if we're not, I mean, it is kind of fearful, right? Are we mm-hmm. going to say the right words? Are we going to know what to do? Are we going to know what to say? But when we're truly living a steep life in scripture and mass and sacraments, that absolutely helps.
Yeah, that's so simple. Trust the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus said, right, I'm sending you the counselor, and it's better that I go because you will do more things as a result of this. In trusting God, it's kind of like, hey, jump and trust that the Lord will teach you how to fly on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's fantastic great. Message. Thank you so much, Doctor. Where can people learn more about you?
So, I have a practice here in Roswell, Optimal Health, and I also have an office in Kennesaw, and just optimalhealthdoc.net. Happy to do complimentary consultations and just meet people and talk, which I'd love to do.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Carl Amodio, parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena. We are so blessed to have you here.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you, John.
Thank you. And it's been a wonderful day here at the Morning Quest. We are so grateful for you guys. Keep us in prayer. Keep our family mm-hmm. in prayer. Keep my family in prayer. If you don't mind, there's a very special person in my life that's having some health difficulties right now, so I'd appreciate that. And speaking of prayer, that's always the best way to begin and end every show. So I'll say, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.